Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
And James, we are joined by one of our favorite people, and I think it's safe to say the most frequent guest in Today on Broadway's 14 and a half month history, cabaret director, Broadway Records graphic designer, and very soon cabaret star, the bon vivant himself, Robbie Rizel. Robbie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me again. I feel this is like the SNL club, the host club.
Oh, yeah. You're like at the Steve Martin level.
Do I get a smoker jacket? Good.
Of course you do. Of course you do. A little Broadway radio logo that you've designed to put on it. Speaking of which.
Very nice. Well, over this long Memorial Day weekend, there haven't been a ton of news, although there was a big story that broke just last night. So we're going to talk about some of these stories, but then we're going to talk about the biggest news of this and every theatrical season. Robbie Rizel songs from Inside My Locker at 54 Below on June 9th at 9:30 p.m. Robbie, are you good with that?
I am rat to go.
All right, James, let's get on to the news then.
All right. First Tony Award's performances have been revealed.
Oh, have they ever, James. Last night, the New York Times revealed a handful of the performances that we will be seeing on CBS on Sunday, June 11th at the 71st Annual Tony Awards. The current plans are for Josh Groban to lead the Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 cast in a mashup of a ballad and a dance number. Robbie, as our resident cast recording expert, I would guess that that might be Dust and Ashes and Balaga. Do you think that's a fair assumption?
It could also maybe be Letters. Which okay. includes more of the cast. But yeah, Balaga is a great number, so yeah.
Yeah, I figured since they said Josh Groban was going to be kind of like the lead of that, I thought maybe Dust and Ashes, but either way, I think they haven't done either Letters or Dust and Ashes on TV yet, I don't think, so that would be cool to see. Mm-hmm. Also announced will be Ben Platt singing Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, and the cast of the long-closed Falsettos revival will perform together. I guess this means Christian Borle's going to have to get a Marvin wig made or something. He's not going to do it bald, is he?
Oh, yeah, he's completely bald right now.
Yeah.
What is that about?
The Charlie wig, the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory wig, it's that he wears during the show. Maybe he could wear that as Marvin, as like an 80s.
Just flip it. Turn it backwards.
Exactly.
Well, it's really the only representation that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory would get on the Tony's telecast.
Oh.
So anyway. The big story from this New York Times article is whether or not Bette Midler will be performing on the Tonys, and that is still unclear. Apparently, everybody's favorite Broadway movie producer, Scott Rudin, wants the entire cast of Hello, Dolly! To perform the show's title number, but from the friendly confines of the Schubert Theater. The production argues that the different stage configurations between the Schubert and Radio City Music Hall could pose a risk to the show's dancers and wouldn't do the song and the staging justice. Having a number performed from its home theater is not completely unprecedented or unprecedented, depending on your level of reading comprehension in Tony's history, but the awards producers don't want to create a trend for future productions. Because of this disagreement, the producers are now saying that the Divine Miss M will present an award and that Tony winner David Hyde Pierce will perform a solo, perhaps the recently interpolated Penny in My Pocket. Now, James, Robbie, Hello, Dolly! Is a tough ticket to get, and for many of us theater lovers outside of New York City, the Tonys will likely be our only chance to see Bette perform anything from the show. So I don't know if this is just a traditional Rudin publicity ploy or some sort of gamesmanship or high stakes pissing match, but I really hope that Rudin and the Wing and CBS and everybody involved could come to a conclusion that works for everyone, especially for us viewers.
Well, maybe, you know, we should think about, didn't Billy Joel start the Tony Awards a few years ago from Times Square in a piano? Robbie, Matt, do you remember this?
And didn't 42nd Street start on like, or no, what am I thinking? Smokey Joe's Cafe started at their theater and walked over to Radio City?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a matter of who's bigger, Bette and Scott Rudin or the Tony Awards. I guess who's going to get to fight.
Rudin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that.
But they're not wrong. I mean, you've seen the staging where
they're jumping over the
passerelle. That's so integral.
That. Yeah, when the ensemble jumps the passerelle, not Bette. Bette does not jump the passerelle.
She's busy waving her arms.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, it's probably 5 feet, 6 feet at the theater, and at Radio City might be 18 feet. So
weirdly, not everyone's a superhuman who can do that. So.
Although I'm sure we get, you know, if an ensemble member fell into the pit, we get a lot of YouTube views for the next 60 days, you know.
Probably might not translate to ticket sales, though.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're selling plenty of tickets.
Dolly doesn't need to.
Dolly turn off the dark.
So, Robbie, I think you had a solution here. What was your solution for this?
I'm ready and willing to fill in. I can do an entire Hello Dolly medley now.
Okay, great.
Just like Marilyn May had that great album where Marilyn May sings all of Hello Dolly. That's a title. I can do that. I'm ready. I'm off the book.
Well, Robbie, perhaps the next story was right up your alley because The Great Comet is looking for Tony performers.
Yeah, speaking of Tony Award's performances, the aforementioned Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812 wants some of the show's super fans to join them on stage at the Tonys. In order to recreate the show's immersive vibe, the production is currently seeking performers to fill out their ensemble, a la the onstage seating over at the Imperial. I would imagine that these people will be doing a ton of egg shaking in this performance. The production says that it is seeking people of all ethnicities and genders to self-submit recent photos. They are looking for, quote, fresh faces and edgy looks, piercings, alternative hair colors, tattoos encouraged. Participants must be 18 years or older and must be available for practically 3 full days, including the day of the Tony Awards. If you are interested, we will have the contact info for submissions in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. James, Robbie, I assume that both of you have dyed your hair, pierced something, and sent in a headshot.
Well, you know, in this case, I change from performer to representative. I represent Robbie for these things, and Robbie is offer only. He doesn't.
That's true. I am offer only. And for practically 3 full days, I got a show. So they're going to have to work around me.
That's true. You do.
I got a lot going on.
You have
on.
A show? When is that show? That June 9th? Is that two June days 9th. Before the Tonys? Yeah.
You know what? We'll get to it later.
Okay. Excellent.
Just as a point of clarification, the rehearsals for the Great Comet Tony performance are on June 9th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Your show's at 9:30. You'd have plenty
of
time.
I have a sound check.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe, you know, could Jennifer Ashley Tepper be in the Tonys?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to start a campaign.
Okay.
All right. GoFundMe.
The first review is in for the Escaped Margaritaville's world premiere.
Yeah, as we've been discussing over the course of the last few months, the Jimmy Buffett jukebox musical Escape to Margaritaville is currently in the midst of its world premiere production at the La Jolla Playhouse in California. I guess it officially opened on Sunday night, but we're like just last night got the first review in. So I'm thinking that the San Diego First Night Press is not really worried about deadlines. But the San Diego Tribune's James Hebert wrote, quote, "It's good to be able to report that the Margaritaville brought to life in La Jolla Playhouse world premiere Buffett musical is a place you'll likely be tickled to spend some time." Terrible pun. He continues that, quote, "It's still worth noting how Escape to Margaritaville delivers just about every bit of what the phrase Jimmy Buffett musical promises, from the splashy colors to the steel drum beats to the palm-fronded beach bar slinging fruity cocktails. However," he adds, "that director Christopher Ashley and writers Greg Garcia and Mike O'Malley, quote, smartly tap into the undercurrent of wistfulness and regret that runs through even some of Buffett's more upbeat story songs." Hebert praises Paul Alexander Nolan, who stars as Tully, and Alison Luff as Rachel. Unfortunately, Hebert adds that, quote, "trying to assemble a bunch of disparate, unrelated songs into something that resembles an organic feeling or even sensible story is a little like being asked to make a margarita out of chocolate, olive oil, and lemonade. Fine ingredients, but do they really fit together?" James, Robbie, I don't really drink, so I'm guessing that's not how a margarita is made.
I've been to Blockheads, and that is not how margarita is made.
All right, good to note. That helps put the review into context. After the show closes at La Jolla, it's going to go on a mini tour before presumably attempting to land on Broadway. At least that's the current plan. It sounds like from the review that the show has the makings of being a fun, enjoyable time in the vein of Mamma Mia, but it sounds like there's still work to be done. Robbie, in all of your pop culture glory, where do you stand on a Jimmy Buffett musical?
That sounds terrible. This just it sounds kind of endless to me. I mean, listen, you're talking to the guy who rushed Mamma Mia many times, but it sounds like the tourist fair, I guess. But
well, maybe they'll open a restaurant with it.
That's different.
As a former employee of Margaritaville here in Orlando, I can tell you that the songs are pretty catchy.
And yet you don't drink. Weird.
I eat hamburgers and French fries and stuff, though.
Just sell them down the aisles.
Robbie, I didn't know that you had this Mamma Mia affliction. What do you think about this this film, the sequel, prequel-sequel thing that's coming up?
I guess one in every 10 homosexual owns more ABBA gold, so there are more songs to be mined from the ABBA catalog.
What about a revival of Chess instead of Mamma Mia? Oh.
I mean, we're in the current political climate for that, so do it now.
And Matt, Michael Malley, one of the writers for Margaritaville, he's got quite the pedigree here of hits behind him.
Well, he's a writer and an actor. I think for perhaps our audience, he's most notably recognized as Kurt's dad on Glee. If you're familiar with him there, he's also had a CBS sitcom or something. James, I think you're friends with his sister, aren't you?
Yeah, Carrie O'Malley. Carrie. And Mike is a writer on Showtime's show Shameless.
He is. Yeah. Great show. Actually, completely apropos of nothing, that show's star, Emma, oh crap, what's her name?
She's
played Christine in Phantom of the Opera.
Emmy Rossum?
Emmy Rossum.
She got married to Sam Esmail, the creator of Mr. Robot, over the weekend.
Oh, that's right. Guys, I saw those pictures.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you know Carrie O'Malley's on every episode of Shameless?
No.
She plays the bartender.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Carrie, come back to New York, living out in Los Angeles.
Come sing to us.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Ariana Grande releases a statement following last week's Manchester attack.
Yeah, as everyone is surely aware, last week a horrific terrorist attack was carried out in Manchester, England, following an Ariana Grande concert. 22 people were killed and over 100 others were injured. The terrorist died in the attack and 14 other people have since been arrested in connection with it. Late last week, Grande, who has suspended her tour until at least June 7th, issued a statement in which, in part, she said, quote, "My heart, prayers, and deepest condolences are with the victims of the Manchester attack and their loved ones. There is nothing I or anyone can do to take away the pain you are feeling or to make this better. However, I extend my hand and heart and everything I possibly can give to you and yours, should you want or need my help in any way." She continues by saying that she will be arranging a benefit concert back in Manchester to support the victims and their families and said, quote, "We will not quit or operate in fear. We won't let this divide us. We won't let hate win. Music is meant to heal us, to bring us together, to make us happy. So that is what it will continue to do for us." Guys, I don't know that there's anything else to, you know, we don't want to get into necessarily the politics of these terrorist attacks, but we did mention this last week, so I wanted to convey Grande's thoughts. I think that whether she wrote this by herself or her team were involved, I think it's obviously heartfelt, and I hope it was at least the tiniest bit helpful to everyone or anyone who was impacted.
So it just shows you the type of human and artist that Ariana Grande is, this type of good upbringing, as we say down south.
Really, really wonderful person.
Yeah, she's really this is a terrible situation, and I'm so glad she's handling it so well. Next up in our featured story of the day, Robbie Rizel, Songs from Inside My Locker at 54 Below on June 9th this year, 9:30 p.m. Because there is a...
you know, that'd be really weird.
There
it'd be really
is
weird
a,
if it was June 9th next year.
Yeah, well, there's an encore show. There's an encore Rainbow Tour, isn't there, coming up?
Well, we're gonna get to that. So, Robbie, this is the biggest news. You are making your cabaret debut to kick off Tony's Weekend at 54 Below. You've been on, as James mentioned, and you've talked about many times, a theater podcast Rainbow Tour. But I do want it stated for the record that I think it started here on Broadway Radio with literally Patty Muir on the podcast. But for those two or three theater fans that know nothing about this concert, give us the details. James gave us the who, what, where, and when. But beyond that, what can people expect from Songs from Inside My Locker?
Oh, gosh. We are just going to have a really great time. And since it's a Friday night before the Tony Awards, I expect people to show up and get drunk and have a great party with me. My mom is flying in from Buffalo, so I intend to have a full Tourette's meltdown within the first 30 seconds to just get it out of the way. You know what? When I got approached to do this, 2017 is a year I don't intend to live in fear, so I said yes to this.
I like that.
And, you know, we all fight back our own ways. So I do it with a Charles Nelson Reilly, Paul Lynn medley.
Is it bad that I have to admit that I know who both of them are, but I can never remember which one played which role? Like, I always get them confused.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. My only dream in life is to be on a game show where I can say quippy answers to a ridiculous question. And they both did that in Match Game and
exactly
Hollywood Squares. So they are basically interchangeable in my eyes. Right.
But
Charles Nelson Reilly was the original Bud Frump and the original Cornelius Hackle in Hello, Dolly. And Paul Lynde was the original Harry McAfee.
Right.
From Bye Bye Birdie. So yes, it's good. Yeah. And I just, you know what? I just have a collection of really great songs with a really great band. And you know, you're going to hear some Carrie and a bunch of flop musicals and eat a plantain chip or two.
So tell us a little bit about the band for a second. Who's your musical director?
My music director's name is Josh D. Smith. Josh and I have known each other for over 20 years. He was the first person I reached out to because he gets my sensibility probably better than anybody. He's been working on a show in Albany and coming in on Mondays to rehearse with me. We actually had a 3-hour sing fest today where we sang through everything. He's spectacular. And then we're using piano, bass, guitar, cello, percussion, and reeds. So it's going to have a nice full sound. I know, bigger than the roundabout.
AFM is going to be out there supporting Robbie there.
Listen, I'll take it.
For those folks who don't know your connection to Carrie, why don't you give us a quick 30 seconds on how do you fit into Carrie?
Here's how it happened. When I was 16 years old, I was obsessed with two things: musical theaters and Stephen King musical theater and Stephen King novels, because my mom read them all. And the confluence of all that stuff is Carrie the Musical. And I went looking on this new thing called the internet, and there was nothing. So I created the Carrie the Musical website. It existed for 20 years, and every day I got at least 3 emails saying, "How do I get to produce this show?" We had all the reviews, the libretto, MIDI clips. If you wanted really crappy MIDI clips, you could hear the score. And that is how Carrie is important to me.
All right. And so we should expect for folks who are they still able to get into the June 9th performance?
There's a couple tickets left. They keep releasing some. I don't know what kind of fire codes they're breaking, but I'm not mad about it.
And you've scheduled a follow-up, haven't you?
Yeah. by popular demand, is a real thing that happened to me. Jen Tepper sent me an email saying, hey, by popular demand. So we're back Saturday, October 28th at 9:30 again. And maybe we'll change it. Maybe we won't. We'll see.
You know, get them.
Yeah, see
get
how
them.
It goes the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what sticks. I don't know. It's a lot of cabaret is just like throwing spaghetti at the wall. So
yeah. You should continue the discussions with the folks at Broadway HD to get this recorded and broadcast.
I could just call Broadway Records since they have the Live Van. 54 Below series.
Yeah, that's very true.
Van and somebody named Robbie, I don't know.
I heard you're sleeping with somebody there.
Weird, myself.
All right, Robbie, I do have one point of contention, though.
Oh, good.
I'm sitting here listening to you talk. I've got multiple monitors on my desk, and mm-hmm. I have one that's open to Twitter. While you are talking, I see you retweet something from Elena Shadow. Are you seriously multitasking while we're doing this interview?
And I'll tell you what I just retweeted. I'm directing a 54 Sings Jane Eyre starring Elena Shadow.
And how so much I do I love that. Elena Shadow?
Oh my she's so goodness. Perfect. She was my entrance into cabaret directing. I put together her show a couple years ago. And just
one of the many, many diamonds of Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, shine bright like a diamond. She was brilliant. Did you get to see her?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God, that was good.
She's currently doing Mary Poppins up at Paper Mill, right?
Yes. Yep, she sure is. And then she's got another gig over the summer, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, maybe we'll get her on and we'll chat with her about that when she's ready to talk about it.
Yeah, she's amazing. So, yep, I can multitask, James, is the story.
Okay, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter, but more importantly, you can find Robbie Rizal at Diva Robbie. I don't know how anyone could not already be following him if you're listening to this podcast, but if you're not, click on him and follow him.
You're welcome.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you for spending some of your Tuesday with us, starting off the week, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.